called him in, said, "Hey, you know, what's this thing? Every Sunday you're preaching on the same subject over and over and over again. Don't you think you ought to start doing something a little different?" And he said, "Well," he said, "it's like this. When everybody starts doing what I'm preaching on, then I'll preach on something different." Now, the point of this, of course, is that God probably is concerned about the same issue with you and me. Because you see, from the very beginning, God's message has always been the same. God doesn't change. God's plan, His way, His strategy has never changed. God had only one thing in mind, and that you and I would not only come to know Him, know that He is love, but that we would come to know that love and live it and demonstrate it to other people. That was His plan. Everything about God was that. "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know that Thou art mine. For You all the follies of sin I have resigned. My precious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. My Jesus, if I love You, I love You now. I love You because You first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love You because You took the thorns on Your brow. My Jesus, if I love You, I love You now. I will love You in life. I will love You in death. And I will love You for taking and sharing and giving, and I will praise You as long as You give me breath. And say, when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I loved You, my Jesus, it's now." 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, "We love because He first loved us." We love because He first loved us. Otherwise, there is no capacity within us to know and be able to love until you have experienced the love of God. The world will not know love, nor will it ever come out of darkness until it knows and understands the depth of the love of God. Only then will people be able to lift themselves out of the element of the darkness of this world and be able to look and walk in the light as He is in the light. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Jesus' whole priority was to teach us to love God with all of our hearts, to love one another as we love ourselves. That has always been God's plan. That was always His strategy. That was always what He worked for and developed. And the very aspect, of course, is God created us in His image. In the image of God, He created us. And God is love. God's love, as we've already learned, is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Love is a verb. It's an action word. But yet, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. I said never. Never fails. So if anything in this world, relationships, marriages, it doesn't matter what it is, if it's failing, it's because love isn't being demonstrated. And demonstrated means that love is kind, love is patient, love is forgiving. Love does, and as it is, love endures all things. It bears all things. Love believes all things. Love doesn't fail. Love is what you are. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. You can say all you want to, "I love you." Show it. Demonstrate it. Demonstrate it by being kind, being patient, by being forgiving, by believing in me, by enduring me if you need to. Love bears all things. That means it puts up with. My mom used to put up pears and peaches and green beans and put them in a jar and can them, put them up. Well, can it, if you will. Because you and I are living on the stage of the world, and we are demonstrating before the principalities and the powers and the kingdoms of darkness. We are in stage, and God is using, and His manifold wisdom is to produce on a people, on the earth, a people who have been filled with His fullness, who know Him and know that He is love and knows the height, the depth, the width, and the length of the love of God, which is beyond knowledge. You're not going to read about it in a book. You can read all the books in the world, but it won't make you have within your heart the love of God. I don't care what the book is. You will not come to know that until God is able to put within you the gift of the Holy Spirit, whose fruit is love. Then you will begin to demonstrate an element of love. And in Romans 5, it says that through the Holy Spirit, God sheds abroad into our hearts His love. Love is from God. That's why you don't see. I mean, love can be in many forms and many reasons out there today. Love can be used to get what you want. You know? A lot of people use it that way. So the love of Christ surpasses knowledge, and it is the fullness of God. This morning I told you we're going to look at how love fulfills the law and the prophets. The Bible tells, remember Jesus gave those commandments and he said it to the lawyer and the lawyer asked him about it and the lawyer said, what is the greatest commandment? Remember? You know that. And it says very clearly, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. I'm going to say it again. Love your neighbor. I don't care if you get tired of it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commands hangs or binds the law and the prophets. Listen to these words. Are you listening? Say yes. Okay. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. Romans 13, verse 8 and following. You get owe nothing to anybody, but to do what? Huh? Marilyn owes me nothing. I don't hold her in indebtedness to anything. I don't have to. You know why? Anybody want to answer that question? Because I know she loves me. How do I know she loves me? By the things she does for me, by the words that she says to me, by the way she treats me, by the way she respects me, by the way she holds me up in consideration and makes me feel important. I know that Marilyn, my wife, loves me. And she wouldn't do anything to hurt me. Period. I know that. And I wouldn't to her either. You'll never catch me saying anything about my wife that is going to destroy who she is as a woman and my wife. I don't think any of you could come up to me and say, oh yeah, Bill, why Melon said this about you? I don't think you could do that. Because I know Marilyn has never said anything negative or bad about any one of you. My wife doesn't talk that way about people. She loves because she is love. That's who she is. Okay? And so when you and I get that element within our life, as Galatians 5, verse 13 through 15, Galatians 5, 13 and 15, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Colossians 3:14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Dress yourself up. Then dress yourself up with kindness and patience and forgiveness. Love is a verb. It's to be seen and demonstrated. Love never fails. It cannot fail within the context from what its source is. This is a book of love. You want to read a book of love? This is it. This is the greatest love story ever told. It's right here. And because he loved you and me and let his son go to the cross and die for us, we know what love is all about. We really do. In Galatians 2 and 16, it states, for the work of the law, no flesh can be justified. Okay? No flesh can be justified through the works of the law. None. Period. Justified means to be not pronounced, or be pronounced not guilty. That's what the word justified means, is to be made not guilty or declared on as looked upon as not being guilty. But yet we all know we have sinned, right? So the law could not forgive, remit, and take away the sins of the people. All it could do was cover it over. The blood of bulls and goats could not remit. It could not take away sin. It couldn't do it. Okay? So what had to happen was, is that God then, out of his love, sent his son to shed his blood that you and I could have the forgiveness of our sins. And it's only through the blood of Christ that you and I can be forgiven. And so for the works of the law, which many people still live under, thinking that somehow if they do enough, live good enough, and be this and do that, they're going to be saved before God without having the blood of Christ applied to the sin and wash them away. Won't be done. Your goodness before a holy God is like a filthy, dirty rag, according to the prophets. Okay? And so the law, as it was, what did the law demand? The law demanded death, didn't it? The wages of sin is what? Death. And the law is and what produced sin. Because Paul said, if it hadn't been for the law, I would not have known that it was wrong to covet. All the law did was bring a knowledge of sin. In fact, if you understand 1 Corinthians 15, you'll understand what Paul said. Paul said the law is the strength of sin. You understand what that means? Because sin is a transgression of the law of God. Get it? And how many of you have not sinned then? How many of you have never lied? How many of you have never took something that didn't belong to you? Whatever. How many of you have never coveted something that belonged to someone else? The Bible says all have sinned, Romans 3, and fallen short of the nature, the character of the glory of God. All of us have. So the law demands a sacrifice. It demands death. The wage of is death. And so what did Jesus do? Had Jesus ever sinned? No. Then how could his death on the cross pay the penalty that the law demanded? Because what did he do? He took your sins and my sins in his body and he died on your behalf. Get it? He was bruised for your transgression. God laid upon him the iniquity, the sins of every one of us. From Adam to the end of the age, Jesus took all sins in his own body and there he paid the price that your sin demands. Therefore, by his taking your sins and my sins and dying on behalf of all people, even though he had never sinned, he paid the price that the law demanded. Okay? But the ultimate end of the law was love. So what did he demonstrate by taking your sins and my sin on his body and being and submissive to the will of God, praying if this cup could pass from me, nevertheless, your will be done? Did not Jesus ultimately show that he loved God with his whole heart, mind, body, and soul? And didn't he prove that he loved people more than himself? And so he did what the law asked to be done. What did he do? Well, according to Colossians 2:14, he has taken it, the law, out of the way, and he has nailed it to the cross. Jesus did that. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't live under the law anymore. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth has come into the world through Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you live under grace? Come on. Yes. You live under grace. You don't live under the law system anymore. And so as it is, however, there is a law that you and I live under that Jesus indeed established for you and me and brought to light as you are. An old commandment was given in the Old Testament. I mean, it said back in Deuteronomy chapter 5, love the Lord thy God with all your soul, mind, and body, strength. In Leviticus, it says love your neighbor as yourself. What did Jesus do? He gave us a new commandment. He elevated it to another level. Love one another. Love as even you have been loved by me. So what did he do? He demonstrated it. He gave us an illustration. He showed us what love is all about. It's sacrifice. I beseech you, remember the verse? Therefore, brethren, I beg you, plead with you, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, for this is your reasonable service of worship. Worship isn't what you're doing here today. Why you come here today? I pray to God you came here because you love the Lord who died for you and to assemble around this table. Remember last Lord's Day? This is the love table. That's what brings us here today. Why were you immersed into Christ? Because you loved him and he commanded it. And if you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandment. He said, he that has believed and has been baptized according to the proper Greek will be saved. It's a command. Therefore, I am immersed into Christ because he commanded me to. But God never gave us a command that is burdensome, because with every command, there's a promise. Noah built the ark. Why? Because it's water coming, a flood, and Noah and his family were saved, weren't they? What if he hadn't obeyed? What if he hadn't built the ark? Isn't that amazing? Think about the element of all the blessings that God has given him. In every command, there's a promise that all the might comes to a spiritual blessing. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in Jesus' name, for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. Isn't that amazing? Simple, isn't it? Huh? And if you love him, you won't argue with it. You simply obey what he's commanded you. You obey it, just because that's what he's asked you to do. And so, love fulfilled the law. Do you get it? What did God do then? When he let his son go to the cross and he nailed him there, sacrificially giving his life for you because he loved you, living the law to what it demanded, never breaking it, never sinning. What did he do? He took the law and he nailed it. It was an administrator of death. It was against you. There was no way you could keep it, right? And so out of God's love and grace, he took it and he has abolished it. It's done with. It's gone. You don't live under the law. You now live under grace. You live under the law of love. Bear ye one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Help carry the burden. This love fulfilled the prophets. Again, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, strength. Love him. And then seconds like unto it, what? Love your neighbor as yourself, because on those two commands hangs the law and the prophets. Okay? You get a picture that in the Bible, the Pharisees, the Levites, the Herodians, the Jews didn't get it? Huh? Do you get a picture they didn't get it? They didn't see that the law was there to reveal to them the nature and the character of God who is love. They didn't see that in the law. They didn't see that every time they slit an animal's throat and shed the blood for their sin, that here was an innocent animal not dying because of what it had done, dying because of what the person is doing that had sinned. They didn't see it. They didn't get it. They never got it. And so the aspect of it is just simply this. When Jesus was condemned for his behavior, and he was condemned for his behavior on the Sabbath day, or whatever, his willingness to associate with publicans and sinners, he was condemned for that. Right? Listen to what he said. He said to those people condemning him, I urge you, I plead with you, to learn the message of the prophets. That's what he said. In Matthew 9:13, He said, go. Go and learn what they have said. Go and learn what this means. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, he says, I desire compassion. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. That's what he said. Think about it. I desire what? Compassion, not sacrifice. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? You remember the people who walked by him? Religious leaders of his day. So wrapped up, I'm sure, in going and doing their performance and their ritual in the temple, seeing this poor man beaten and dying, they just left him indifferent. Didn't matter. Walked right on by. And then come the Samaritan. And he saw him there. You know what? Love was what poured the oil into his wounds. Love is what bound those wounds. Love is what put that man on his animal and took him into the inn. Love is what told him and what came out of his mouth when he said, when I come back through, if there's anything lacking, I'll pay the money for this man. Love did that. Why? Because the Bible says when he saw him, the Samaritan looked upon him, he had compassion on him. Now who, Jesus said, is really the neighbor? And they said, the one who had compassion on him. Then go and do likewise. You see, all back through all the prophets, everything they were preaching, everything they were teaching, everything they were saying was teaching one message, have and be compassionate. Have compassion. And Jesus quoted the prophets. Think of Micah chapter 6, verse 6 and through 8. It's very similar. Jesus said, what then shall I come to the Lord? This is Micah speaking. And bow myself before the God on high. Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearning calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly before your God. Get it? That's what he said. God has never delighted in the shedding of all the blood of all those animals and those things. He never delighted in all the oils and the rivers of oil. That wasn't his desire. The scribes and the Pharisees and those of the Old Testament and the Jews, they didn't see it. They never caught the purpose of the law, nor did they hear what the message of the prophets were. They didn't get it. God never delighted in those acts. He never delighted in blood and oil and sacrifice. He didn't. His desire was love and compassion. He thought surely they would see it and stop sinning so animals, innocent animals, wouldn't have to die. He thought maybe they'd get it after a while, but they never did. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? The ones who received the law and the ones to whom the prophets were sent were the very ones who took the same prophet and killed him, and then took the prophet of prophet and nailed him on a cross. You see, religious people, for whatever reason, never get to the point of understanding what this book is all about. Even churches today are filled with people who have never learned what the law was about and what the prophets were talking. They still gossip. They still backbite. They still destroy people's lives. They lie, they go right on their ways, and yet they have this self-righteousness within them that is deadening to their souls and the life of people. You see, religious people, for whatever, seem somehow or other, that coming to church on Sunday and reading the Bibles maybe once in a while and giving the money here and there is what really been required of them. Really. You know? Easter's not too far off, and I guarantee you there'll be women and people, children with new dresses and hats and whatever, and the preacher could say, great to see you here today. I'll see you next year. I'm serious. I'm sorry. Because somehow or other, we never get the message of what this table's all about. People tell me this gets old. You mean a love table of God and the price He paid for you is going to get old? There's something wrong with you, not with the table. Okay? I'm serious. And my Lord did say, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. He said, why do you call me Lord and don't do the things that I say? Isn't that what He said? Now look at how many people wear this name and carry it around saying they're Christian, but for no way or another, they are not really teaching and following what the love book says. I'm serious. This is my authority. I have no authority. The only authority I got is to stand up here in front of you and say, this is what Galatians says, this is what Romans says, this is what Colossians says. You see, I don't get up here and say, have you read the dictionary yet on this word? Or did you read the Reader's Digest, last story? It is a wonderful story about these people. I mean, you know, if you want Reader's Digest story, get a Reader's Digest and read it. Now, if you want to hear the Word of God, just come on, and we'll try to help you to understand it. Okay? I want you to understand that Isaiah chapter 1, turn there if you will, and we're going to close with this because it's strong and it's powerful. It is. Isaiah chapter 1, turn to the prophet Isaiah because those two commands are the end of the law and the prophets. Okay? All right? I don't do this very often, but I want you to read this with me this morning. I'm going to start at verse 10. Verse 10, chapter 1 of Isaiah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are multitude sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. And when you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no more. Incense is an abomination to me. New moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assembly. I can't endure iniquity in the solemn assembly. I hate your new moons and festival and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply your prayer, I'm not going to listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wow. Now let's look at the cure. Read on. Verse 16. Wash your hands. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the rootless. Defend the orphan. Defend the orphan. I got too many pages. Plead for the widows. You see, it hasn't changed. James said, pure religion and undefiled before God is to visit the widows and the orphan, and to keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Same message. Same message. Right? It's always been the same. Why? Because God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There's no shadow of variation in Him. So God hasn't changed His program. God hasn't changed His thing. He may have spoke through Moses and the patriarchs, but God's message has always been the same. Love me because of who I am. And love your neighbor. Love people like I love you. And demonstrate it. Live it. Show it. That's always been His plan. And then He sent His Son to show us what it was all about. And Jesus did it, didn't He? And then He took the law and the prophets and He fulfilled it right there. Verse 18. Are you listening? Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Isn't that amazing? You see, Christianity is the only reasonable religion on the face of the earth. The word religion means what? To bind back. The only religion on the face of the earth that binds people back to the true God, the creator of the universe, is that which came into the world through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the only way back to God is through His Son. Period. I said period. Okay? I don't care. You can walk in here with a gun. I'm not going to preach any other message. I'm going to go to heaven. I don't fear him who can destroy my body. I fear him who can take my soul and my body and cast it into hell. I'm going to heaven. Okay? It's amazing. He didn't say, come to the altar and pray and beg and plead and scream and holler. Oh, he didn't say, come and let us scream and jump on pews and talk in spungs and roll in the aisles and let's do all of that. Come. No, he said, come and let us reason. Think through this. Let's process it. That even though your sins be as scarlet, they can be what? As white as that snow out there. Now, what in the world washes you as white as snow? The blood of Jesus Christ. That is the difference between those who are saved and aren't. They have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. How do I know that? Because the book of Revelation speaks of the great white throne and the multitudes that cannot be numbered standing around it, dressed in white robe, because they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been? Have you really sat down and reasoned through the process of what God has done on your behalf? And what it ought to mean to you. You see, God wants you to know His love. God wants you to know He loves you. And that there's nothing that can separate you from that love except you. And your choice. Nothing can. Honestly, nothing can. But let's come and reason. Though your sins are scarlet, they're white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like a wool. If you consent and obey. Oh, it's a choice. 116 times the Bible says choose. You know that?